Candidates are crisscrossing the state in hopes of attracting last-minute votes. A new poll shows Democrat Joe Donnelly with an 11-point lead over Republican Richard Murdoch. Donnelly spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Michael Puente this morning about his apparent lead.
We've had a chance to work nonstop across the state, and we've seen our lead build gradually, week by week recently. So I'm really gratified by it. But here's what I know. We've got to work nonstop through next Tuesday and continue to earn the vote of every citizen of Indiana.
Now, your race recently received national attention last week when Mr. Murdoch made his controversial statement about rape, gun, and abortion. But I noticed that you didn't challenge him on his stance during the debate. Why not?
Well, I figured that in terms of the debate itself, it was best to just continue on through the debate and then talk about it a little bit later as other questions were still coming forward.
Well, Mr. Donnelly, tell me more about your own position on abortion. There's been some other reports out there. One story had you reportedly supporting a measure to deny federal abortion funds, even in the case of rape and incest. Is that true, and does it make it harder to attack your opponent for his similar position?
Well, that would be in regards to H.R. 3. And over a year and a half ago, I sent out a letter indicating that unless the words forcible rape were removed from the bill, I would no longer support it.
Moving on, just yesterday, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg endorsed President Obama for re-election, primarily because of climate change. With that as the backdrop, what legislation do you favor to help curtail emissions from factories and plants? Do you worry that such measures could hurt companies right here in Northwest Indiana?
Well, I voted against cap-and-trade legislation because I think what we have to do is we have to make sure that Indiana's economy continues to grow in a strong fashion, that we continue to create more jobs here, and that we continue to work together with business to try to have the cleanest environment possible. I know that there are efforts made to produce clean coal, coal gasification, coal liquefaction, and we'll do everything possible to make sure that clean coal is being used.
Mr. Donnelly, just last week, right here in Crown Point, I ran into a registered Democrat the other day, a local dentist just down the street eating lunch. He said he plans to vote for Mitt Romney for president because he doesn't like about the auto bailout. He doesn't like certain provisions in the Health Care Act. Why do you think President Obama has lost his vote? And how has Indiana gone from a blue state to a red state again so quickly?
You know, I can't explain how every voter thinks, but I can tell you this in regards to the auto assistance that was provided. It helped save over 120,000 jobs here in Indiana. I have been lucky enough to represent the 2nd Congressional District's Chrysler transmission plants in Congress, the people who work there. We had over 5,000 people working there in those plants, and when the difficulty started in the auto sector, we wound up at one point with less than 100 people. So you had almost 5,000 people not knowing where they're going to go to work tomorrow. And as of right now, we have all 5,000 of those jobs back, and in fact, are heading to over 6,000 at some point in the near future. So I know this. I know that the assistance given to the auto companies was extremely critical to Indiana's economy.
Well, let me ask you this. I know you said you can't account for every voter out there, but what would you tell this voter, a registered Democrat, so that he still votes for you down the ballot?
Well, I have been – I think what's most important is I've tried to use Hoosier common sense. And what that means is I don't worry about Democrat. I don't worry Republican. I worry about doing what's right for the United States of America. That's what's first and foremost critical as we move forward. And so I would say if you look at my record is reflective of that, that we work hard to try to create more jobs, more opportunity, and then work across the aisle to work together so that we are getting things done. We can balance the budget, reduce the debt, and see more of our friends and neighbors going to work.
Congressman Donnelly, just the other day in Chicago, Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin said he expected you to benefit from a split ticket, Hoosiers who vote for Romney but also support you. Have you encountered any of these folks on the campaign trail, and what are you doing to court them?
Well, Hoosiers are a pretty independent lot. And so, for instance, in 2008, President Obama won Indiana by a percentage point. And Governor Mitch Daniels, the Republican candidate, won the governorship by 18 percentage points, or 16, I'm sorry. So we look at candidates on their own merit, on their own individual positions. And so I've been very fortunate to have support not only from Democrats, but from Republicans and independents.
Now, the person who holds this U.S. Senate seat that you're currently going after, Senator Richard Lugar, has been there for nearly 40 years. What part of Senator Lugar's legacy is most important for you to carry on?
The fact that every day he went to work, he did so with one intention. How do I make my beloved home state strong, and how do I make my beloved country stronger? So that both Indiana and the United States could continually gain from his wisdom and his knowledge and his talent. Senator Lugar joined with Senator Sam Nunn, a Democrat from Georgia, to help reduce the amount of nuclear weapons around the world. He was a key figure in agriculture year after year after year. And so Senator Lugar really is a hero to those of us who live in Indiana. He is someone who has dedicated his life to our country. And the things he's done in bringing people together, in making our nation stronger, in protecting the world from nuclear weapons, it's a pretty darn good legacy and one that I hope to be able to try to live up to.
Joe Donnelly is the Democratic candidate running for the U.S. Senate in Indiana. He spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Michael Puente. Denzel Washington stars in a new film opening this weekend called Flight. Film critic Kenneth Turan says Washington plays an intriguing, if morally ambivalent, hero.
Whip Whitaker, played by Denzel Washington, is introduced lying face down on a hotel room bed after what has clearly been a night of debauchery, substance abuse, and very little sleep. So it's dismaying to discover that Whitaker is an airline pilot scheduled to take the controls in a raging thunderstorm that very morning. But even drugged out, Whitaker can still fly like the Red Baron when his aircraft inexplicably plummets into an uncontrolled dive and seems headed for unmitigated disaster. Whitaker saves the day.
We're gonna roll it, okay?
What do you mean roll it?
We gotta do something to stop this dive. Here we go. I've got control.
Not every single passenger, as it turns out, survives these heroics. And as a defense attorney played by Don Cheadle tells the pilot, the question is whether his bravery will be overshadowed by his formidable blood alcohol count.
This toxicology report states that you were drunk. And if it is proven that your intoxication was the cause of the death of the four passengers, now we're going to look at four counts of manslaughter. That could be life in prison.
Washington, as always, creates a complex character who is both wary and worried, a man who not only flies airplanes, but is also in flight from his own life. But the story that surrounds him is not as subtle or involving. For though Flight could have concerned itself with how to reconcile heroic actions with fallible human qualities, it heads in a more formulaic direction. Can Whip Whitaker stop drinking long enough to avoid becoming his own worst enemy? None of Flight's other characters hold us the way Whitaker does, though fine acting helps bring them alive. Don Cheadle is appropriately spit and polished as that attorney, and John Goodman is outrageous as only John Goodman can be, playing Whitaker's personal Dr. Feelgood.
What the hell kind of meds are giving you?
Aprazolam. That's generic Xanax. Hydrocodone. That's generic Vicodin. Probably Canadian. Where's the dihydromorphinone? Is this amateur hour? Get that doctor in here. You just saved 100 people.
All in.
You bring my smokes.
When all else fails, Flight turns to Washington. His ability to convey the agony of a soul in torment never lets us down, even though the film that surrounds him never rises to his heights.
That's Kenneth Turan, film critic for the Los Angeles Times and NPR.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Burlingame Home Inspection and Performance. Burlingame performs property inspections along with energy audits and ratings for Energy Star, tax credits, and efficiency mortgages, all utilizing infrared technology. More information is at cusaveenergy.com or 217-649-1173.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 2nd of November, 2012. It was on this day, 1948, that Harry S. Truman managed one of the great election upsets in history. He beat the governor of New York, the Republican Thomas Dewey, for the presidency. Truman had been doing badly in the polls. He'd come into office after Franklin Roosevelt's death in April 1945. He'd never really lived up to Roosevelt's reputation. He was not well known. Republicans had taken control of the Congress in the midterm elections 1946. Factions of the Democratic Party were splitting off into the Progressive Party and the Dixiecrats. 2 months before the election, the pollster Elmo Roper announced he was going to stop surveying voters because Truman was so far behind. But Harry Truman set out on his whistle-stop tour, private railroad car with a sound system so he could pull into small towns and give speeches. And that fall of 1948, he traveled almost 22,000 miles and delivered more than 300 speeches, including the first speech ever delivered by an American president to a black audience in Harlem. On election day, he went to bed early after a ham sandwich and a glass of milk, woke up around midnight, turned on the radio. They reported that he was ahead in the popular vote by more than 1 million, but the announcer said that Truman was still undoubtedly beaten. It turned out, though, that he had won 303 electoral votes to Thomas Dewey's 189. Not a single news organization in the country had predicted the election correctly. And a couple days later, Truman posed with a copy of the Chicago Tribune with the headline, "Dewey Defeats Truman," and a big grin on his face. It's the birthday of the frontiersman Daniel Boone, born 1734 near Reading, Pennsylvania. Daniel Boone, who said, "I have never been lost, but I will admit to being confused for several weeks." And it was on this day, 1889, North Dakota and South Dakota became the 39th and 40th states of the Union. The population of each state, about the same now as it was almost a century ago. South Dakota, home to half of the wild buffalo left in America. North Dakota, still the least visited state in the nation. Here's a poem for today by Barbara Howes, entitled "Early Supper." Laughter of children brings the kitchen down with laughter, while the old kettle sings. Laughter of children brings to a boil all savory things. Higher than beam or rafter, laughter of children brings the kitchen down with laughter. So ends an autumn day. Light ripples on the ceiling. Dishes are stacked away. So ends an autumn day. The children jog and sway in comic dances, wheeling. So ends an autumn day. Light ripples on the ceiling.